Jeff's Guitar Clinic is a multifaceted shop, offering guitars, amplifiers, and all accessories, guitar lessons for all ages, and instrument repair of the highest quality. Take the scenic drive to beautiful Fort Atkinson and see what total customer satisfaction is all about. Call Jeff's Guitar Clinic today at 920-723-1733. That's Jeff's Guitar Clinic at 920-723-1733. Jeffsguitar.com.
I want to thank all the labor unions here in Dane County that help keep Sly'sOffice.com up and going so you keep up to date, whether it be the Madison Firefighters, Local 311, or the Madison Teamsters, Local 695, or our friends at Madison Teachers Incorporated. These are some of the most active local unions who organize, and constantly stand up for workers. Thank you from Sly'sOffice.com. Welcome to another podcast at Sly'sOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers, other great local unions like Madison Firefighters Local 311, also our friends at Madison Teachers Incorporated, and the Teamsters, Madison Local 695. God bless all of them. And God bless John Nichols from the Capital Times and the Nation. He is out there doing the Lord's work from the great state of Texas today. He's with our friend Jim Hightower.
I am indeed. Hightower and I have been driving around Texas like you cannot. You know, when you drive around Texas,
you put some miles on.
It's not like driving around Wisconsin.
No.
You know, going up to Ashland, that's a big drive.
Right.
You know, going up to even, you know, tip of Door County, that's a big drive for us. That, for them, that's like going to dinner.
The first time I drove into Texas, it was around the Beaumont area. I was coming from Louisiana, and they had a sign right as you entered Texas, El Paso, 896 miles.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a...
And that's not the longest route you can do.
Well, it's pretty close.
It's long.
Yeah, it's long. 896 miles is a long, long trip.
You go from Bronzeville up to the Oklahoma border, some of the panhandle there.
Yeah, that's up there. All right, well...
Can I tell you about my favorite Texas thing? I mean, before we go, I gotta tell you my favorite Texas thing ever. I think I've even said it to you years ago, decades ago. I was covering politics down here, and I was in Bronzeville, and I had the TV on. It was right before a primary election, and there was a guy running for sheriff, and his ad came on, and he had all like pictures of him in the police car and stuff like that. And then he said, looked straight in the camera and says, "And unlike my opponent, I am not currently under indictment."
Well, I can tell you another state where you'll see ads like that. That would be Kentucky.
I love those. I love it when, you know, you're like sort of honest.
Uh-huh.
That you've had your own problems.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No, it's the ads get rough down there. Well, it has been nothing more than a circus in national politics, and it's kind of Bob Corker versus Donald Trump these days. So let me play this to get us started from NBC.
Tonight, piercing criticism of the president by a fellow Republican. Senator Bob Corker tweeting, "It's a shame the White House has become an adult daycare center. Someone obviously missed their shift this morning." Those sharp words, retaliation for President Trump's latest Twitter tirade, attacking Corker as a negative voice obstructing his agenda, and a coward who didn't have the guts to run for re-election. The president's budget director an hour earlier praising Corker.
I think it's going to be fun to work with him, especially now that he's announced that he's not running for re-election, because I think it sort of unleashes him to do whatever and say whatever he wants to say.
Corker, head of the powerful Senate Foreign Relations Committee, just days ago, taking this apparent swipe at the president's competence.
I think Secretary Tillerson, Secretary Mattis, and Chief of Staff Kelly are those people that help separate our country from chaos.
Among the most urgent threats, North Korea. Kim Jong-un today touting his country's nuclear arsenal, hours after President Trump ominously warned only one thing will work with the rogue regime.
What's the one thing that'll work with North Korea? Well, you'll figure that out pretty soon.
The president making clear national security, not health care, is his top priority.
I want to focus on North Korea. I want to focus on Iran. I want to focus on other things. I don't want to focus on fixing somebody's back or their knee or something.
How did your house do?
President Trump also dismissing criticism of his response to the hurricane in Puerto Rico, defending throwing paper towels to a crowd at a church.
They had these beautiful soft towels. They said, throw them to me, Mr. President. And so I'm doing some of the... So the next day they said, oh, it was so disrespectful to the people. It was just a made-up thing.
Oh, and there is one more thing the president did that raised a few eyebrows.
You guys know what this represents?
Well,
Western
storm.
What storm, Mr.
We
President?
We have the world's great military people in this room. I will tell you that. And we're not waiting. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
What storm, Mr. President?
You'll find out.
Okay. To which Senator Corker said that Donald Trump has the capability of starting World War III.
Well, we know that, right? I mean, that's not actually a debatable point. It's real. But just before we go into, you know, the apocalypse, which is always a good topic, I just want to say, on the chance we avoid the apocalypse, right, that we don't end up in it,
uh-huh.
I kind of like, if I was running against Donald Trump, I think I'd take the clip about, I don't want to worry about fixing.
Yeah, wasn't that
back.
Something? I'm really glad that you honed in on that, because the national media did not.
Yeah, it's an incredible statement. And you know what I would do? I would just take that clip, and then if I was running against him, I would just like run the clip and then just appear and kind of walk in front of the TV and say, I do. I want to focus on that.
Yeah, because there are a lot of people that live in Macomb County, Michigan, that probably have bad backs from actually working.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, if you've got a hurting back, which I've been very blessed not to have to deal with that, but I know people.
Bob Seger has a pinched vertebrae in his back right now. I had to cancel his shows.
Oh, and you can't even tour. Yeah.
Right.
And all I'm going to tell you is that, from what I understand, that's a bigger concern than whatever, you know,
Rocket Man does.
The North Korean foreign minister tweeted today. Now, I'm not diminishing North Korea as an issue, and I'm not diminishing Iran and all these other things, but it kind of seems to me like on every one of those things, Trump is making what was a containment policy, i.e., they were contained, they were a problem, but we didn't have to really fret about them too much, into a crisis. And then at the same time, after he makes the crisis that he then says he wants to focus on, he says, so I don't have time to focus on your bad back. And I would just argue for reversing that order, containing North Korea, containing Iran, you know, like making sure they're not a problem, but also not stirring them up. And then taking all that extra energy, all that free time to fix people's backs. I'm just telling you, I think that could be a platform that would get you elected president.
Huh. Well, he certainly doesn't sound like the man that ran for president, that's for sure.
No, because he was anti-war,
right?
Remember?
That's
a really good point, Sly. Because, it's probably at some point, as somebody writes about these things and also as somebody does podcasts and radio about this stuff, it's probably worthy to pause and just like do a major, you know, I could write an article on it, you could do a show on it, whatever, where you say, you know, just to be clear, this guy probably won. Like, his margin of victory, you can look at all the different reasons why, you know, he narrowly prevailed, right? He probably won the presidency because of his anti-war statements. That there was a portion of people who, a small portion, but you only needed a small portion in a handful of states, and particularly a state like Wisconsin, which has a, you know, really among our rural folks, even among rural conservatives, there's a distaste for military adventurism. That's true in Iowa. It's true in a lot of upper Midwest states. I think that benefited Trump tremendously. And now he of any promise that he made as a candidate, I would argue there's none that he is so totally abandoned.
Well, when you take money from the State Department and you give it to the Pentagon and you surround yourself with generals, it's a pretty good indication you're itching for a fight. By the way, here's a golden oldie for you. 60 Minutes turned 50 years old. This is from one of Mike Wallace's first interviews. He was interviewing, by the way, today, if you're listening later in the podcast, today we're recording this on Tuesday, October 10th. Today is the day Richard Nixon's vice president, Spiro Agnew, quit in disgrace for corruption when he was governor of Maryland. But anyway, when they
opened the file that they had kept so that they could get rid of Agnew when they wanted to, just to be clear on that.
That's just so cynical, John.
No, that's a warning for Pence, by the way.
Well, we'll get to him, believe me. Here is a golden oldie for you.
There's been so much talk in recent years of style and of charisma. No one suggests that either you or your opponent, Hubert Humphrey, have a good deal of it. Have you given no thought to this aspect of campaigning and of leading?
Well, when style and charisma connotes the idea of contriving of public relations, I don't buy it at all. Let me make this one point. Some public men are destined to be loved, and other public men are destined to be disliked. But the most important thing about a public man is not whether he's loved or disliked, but whether he's respected. And I hope to restore respect to the presidency at all levels.
Oops.
hope deferred, so to speak. Hope that did not come to pass.
I haven't seen this quantified. I'd love to know what percentage of Americans respect Donald Trump.
You know, actually, you can kind of get that number. There is some polling. You know, it's obviously the approval, disapproval stuff, which is a little bit different than that. But I think AP sometimes when they do their, I hope I'm using the word correctly, longitudinal or, you know, kind of bigger examinations, they do go into that. And what's interesting is there's a substantial portion of Trump backers who don't respect him but support him. So Nixon was wrong, by the way. You don't have to be respected. You can still have them.
Okay, one of the things I could never do is I could never go out and spin for this president. I couldn't spin for Barack Obama. I'll be honest with you. I couldn't have spun for him. I really couldn't. I actually found many of his actions quite loathsome.
Bill, but can I interrupt you here, Sly? I think it would have been a little easier.
A little easier, but you said it. He broke my heart. And you warned me he was going to break my heart on trade, and he did. I do. And I haven't forgotten. I've got a long memory. So anyway, I could never do this. This is Kellyanne Conway last night on Fox.
We've all worked with Senator Corker over the years. We thank him for his service, but I find tweets like this to be incredibly irresponsible. It adds to the insulting that the mainstream media and the president's detractors, almost a year after this election, they still can't accept the election results. It adds to their ability and their cover to speak about a president of the United States, the president of the United States, in ways that no president should be talked about.
She said that with a straight face.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's like there's so many things there that I mean, you could do a couple hours on just that little short statement because, you know, first off, I don't know, why would people think that he didn't win? I'd see the fact that he lost by 3 million.
Touche.
I mean, not to belabor the point. And also that it feeds into, and I mean, I actually think that sums Kellyanne Conway, who in the book I wrote a lot about her because she's a very interesting character. She's a much more of a mainstream conservative, even somebody who did a lot of projects with Democrats. She's one of those kind of D.C. insider, New York insider types who wanted to have it both ways. And didn't want Trump to be the nominee. She wanted it to be Ted Cruz. And yet she's there. because to her, party loyalty and also the party loyalty is an ugly phrase, by the way. It's a phrase that means you will support someone who you totally disapprove of, you know, who you know is wrong because they're of your party. And she likes party loyalty because it gives her power. And that's the real underpinning of it. It's her own power. It's not Trump's. It's her own. And so when she says it feeds or it benefits those who would say things about this president that you should never say, like, I don't know, maybe like he wasn't born in the United States or something like that. But, you know, it's that what she's saying is that Corker shouldn't say this because he's a Republican. And Conway knows something. She's not stupid. She knows something. The reason Donald Trump is president is because a lot of Republicans think that way, because they voted for him, even though they knew he was a bad guy. And this is why I think they are freaking out at the Corker stuff. Like, it's really a problem, because if there's ever a wedge put in there between the Republicans who know Trump is a bad guy but still support him and Trump, if you divide those people off, that's his margin of error. That's not his margin of error in a close race in a handful of states with Hillary Clinton. That's national. He cannot. It's not only that he can't get reelected without that, you know, kind of lockstep Republican support. He can't manage the 2018 election, the off-year election.
Well, we'll get to that next.
Big deal stuff.
John Nichols from the Capital Times and The Nation at SliesOffice.com.
Injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh.
John and I approach personal injury cases in the same way. We want to be certain that our clients are treated fairly, that our clients are comfortable, that our clients know they can trust us to get the best result for them.
It's our professional responsibility to make certain you are fairly and fully compensated. Most of our cases are settled without a trial.
Call injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh at 257-5661 for the personal attention you deserve.
FliesOffice.com brought to you by the United Steelworkers and many great local sponsors like our friends at Madison Computer Works, S&R Remodeling, and St. Vincent de Paul. So we'll pick up where you left off. You talked about 2018. Well. Steve Bannon was also on Fox last night. I know you're a big, big Bannon fan, so let's play some Steve Bannon clips. Here's cut number one, talking about Robert Corker from Tennessee.
Here's what he said.
If Bob Corker has any honor, any decency, he should resign immediately. He should not let those words stand what he said about the president.
He wouldn't win.
Well, first of all, the president's lying about the conversation. The president asked Bob Corker to run for reelection.
Begged him. Yeah. Because they have concerns. Now, admittedly, Tennessee's a pretty Republican state, but they have concerns about Tennessee because in the right circumstance, Tennessee could theoretically be complicated at the very
well. Like when they run two Republicans, it's very close. Like when Harold Ford almost won, when they had two Republicans.
Yeah, but there's another thing as well there, and that is that if in a state like Tennessee, if the seat is open, even if you know you've got a pretty solid Republican and the Democrats not as strong, you still have to put energy and attention there, right? Because it's got Memphis, it's got Nashville, it's a state that actually has a
It has two big Democratic cities.
Right, and also, frankly, even Chattanooga gets you pretty.
They have a Democratic mayor now in Chattanooga. He may be He may be running for the Senate.
So this is the deal on that. That that's complicating for them. The more open seats they have on the R side, that's the more problem they have overall. They wanted Corker.
Let's get to Steve Bannon, cut number two.
There's a coalition coming together that's going to challenge every Republican incumbent except for Ted Cruz, whether it's Utah, Wyoming, whether it's in
Orrin Hatch in Utah.
Orrin Hatch in Utah.
Candidates.
We're spending a ton of time with the grassroots organizations to make sure that these candidates are fully vetted. You're going to see people announced this week that are going to have experience in government. You're going to see some outsiders that are authentic, and these people are real. It's not like 2010. 2010 was the beginning of the Tea Party when things were first getting going.
He went on to say this is war against Mitch McConnell, and he's going to cut off his oxygen.
Well, as a Quaker, I can't support that. However, I don't mind if a little pain is caused to Mitch McConnell. Look, here's the bottom line on the thing. Mitch McConnell is a horrible, horrible person, like one of the worst people in the world.
Yep.
And one of the things that makes him a horrible person is his stunning loyalty to Donald Trump. The fact that Donald Trump put up people who not only shouldn't be in the positions they're in, they shouldn't be allowed near the buildings that that they're working in. And, you know, they should have, look, the guards at the Department of Justice should have pictures of Jeff Sessions saying, you know, watch out for this guy, right? Because if there's anybody who is antithetical to the concept of justice, it's Jeff Sessions. And yet, McConnell went to the mat to get Jeff Sessions into that job at the EPA. Oh, you know, I mean, they shouldn't let
Scott Pruitt
put anywhere near the EPA. And yet, McConnell went to the mat to get Scott Pruitt in that. Betsy DeVos, I mean, she's an absolutely ridiculous person to have a Secretary of Education. McConnell went to the mat to get, you know, you understand what I'm saying is,
don't you dare say anything about my main man, Ben Carson. He's doing a fine job over at HUD.
He was an easy one there, wasn't he? He wasn't complicated. Like, you know, the weird thing is the two nominees that were easy to get through were Ben Carson and Rick Perry. And I think that the theory was they're basically harmless because the chance that they're going to figure out where they're at and what they're doing is pretty slim. I mean, Perry couldn't even remember what, you know, that it was the department he wanted to eliminate.
So tell me how you think this is all going to shake out in Wisconsin. We know that Bannon met with Leah Vukmir.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, she's all part of ALEC. I mean, you know, that's Trade Central.
This is the complexity of it. It really is that Vukmir is not a stupid politician. She knows her vulnerability. And that is that she is, you know, pure establishment. She's political careerist, you know, kind of lockstep with Scott Walker, who's like, you know, drips of Koch brothers establishment the whole bit.
Her voice is all over that corrupt gerrymandering case, picking her own voters.
Absolutely. And here's another interesting part of it. She's going to have to run with Foxconn. And, you know, as I've said repeatedly over the last month or so, I think Foxconn is the single best issue the Democrats have been given in modern times in Wisconsin. You know, I was in Wausau the other day and talked to a crowd of folks, and I devoted most of my remarks to Foxconn. And can I tell you something? Up there where paper mills, when you walk into that labor temple in Wausau and you see the banners of all the union locals that were formed to work in paper mills and to work in other factories up there that are gone, or that are, you know, dramatically downsized across northern Wisconsin, there's not an immense enthusiasm for Foxconn.
Yeah.
You know, so what I'm saying is, if here's your situation. Vukmir knows she needs Bannon because she will be beaten in the primary if she has a serious opponent who simply says, all their opponent has to say is, Leah Vukmir, career politician, crony capitalist, pro-free trade. I mean, you can literally turn, you know, a huge portion of the Republican base against her with a snap of the finger. So she needs Bannon desperately. Bannon wasn't meeting with her. She was meeting with him.
All right. One more thing here. Indianapolis is a really interesting city. Indianapolis is, I think it's actually a pretty good cross-section of America. And it's a lot different than it was 30 years ago. It's far more multicultural.
Urbane,
yeah. So Mike Pence went back to Indiana to supposedly show up for Peyton Manning's jersey being retired, right? And Karen Pence had her little Peyton Manning jersey on and everything. And the next thing you know, he got up and left the game. Now, let me just play this. I have this clip here. Mike Pence did something you should never, ever do as a politician.
If Vice President Mike Pence greeted fans in Indianapolis, the Colts facing off against the 49ers.
Our national anthem.
When the anthem played, more than a dozen players took a knee. Pence stood with his hand over his heart and left as soon as the Star Spangled Banner ended.
It makes no sense to me. It is ridiculous what he did. It just doesn't make sense. He doesn't have any reason to do that.
The vice president tweeted moments later, "I will not dignify any event that disrespects our soldiers, our flag, or our national anthem." The protests, a divisive issue for millions of Americans, have created political momentum for the Trump administration, which has been using the controversy to woo donors for weeks. A question for some whether today's walkout was planned. The president afterward tweeting, "I asked VP Pence to leave stadium if any players kneeled."
I think that sending the vice president to the game was a pre-planned stunt, but I think Americans don't like stunts.
Your thoughts, John? You think it was a stunt?
Yeah, of course it was. He had a schedule. I mean, you know, it's like
he had a fundraiser to get to.
Yeah, I mean, I assume it was like, you know, I don't know, 441 land, 551. You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
they've got to raise money for the Trump Defense Fund.
Yeah, and the Pence Defense Fund. Because remember, Pence.
No. None of the money is going to pay for his lawyers. He's out raising money for Ivanka and Jared's defense and their father's defense, and none of the money is going for Mike Pence's defense. He's got to pay for his out of his own pocket.
Well, I think he's going to be making a claim pretty soon is all I'm going to say. But the bottom line is, look, it was a scheduled event, quote-unquote, and it cost a lot of money for him to do that. A
couple hundred thousand dollars.
You knew, if you've been following sports, which apparently Mike Pence doesn't, you knew that some of the players were going to take a knee. That was a given.
Yeah, the Colts were playing San Francisco.
And also, you knew they've been doing it, right? This is not a shock. And so this is very manufactured, and he got caught. And that's the bad thing about when you do a stunt is not doing the stunt. That's politics. The bad thing is when you get caught, because then you're just inept. You're like, and the thing is, if you can imagine it, in Mike Pence, you have someone who is worse at faking sincerity than Donald Trump.
And that's not a high bar.
That's a bad indictment of somebody. But the worst thing he did was the scorching lie, the really awful lie of suggesting that those who took a knee did so out of disrespect for American soldiers. This isn't about that. This whole protest, which is now, unfortunately, many of the core concepts are being lost, you know, in the absurd debate Donald Trump has spun up. But it's never been about an anti-war statement. We have had people who have made anti-war statements and who have done things to protest wars. That's happened in history, and as a country, we survived it quite well. But in this case, this is a protest against systemic racism. It's an objection by people who have had great success, you know, to racism that still affects family members, members of the communities they came out of, that affects the family and friends of fellow players. And so they're making a statement. You can agree or disagree with taking the knee, but to suggest that he walked out because he's concerned about somebody insulting soldiers, that didn't happen. It did not happen. And I wish that in covering stunts like this and in covering what the president is doing, that a pause would be made each time to clarify the truth of the circumstance. And the reason I hope that is because when you constantly repeat this lie, as Pence and Trump have, as part of a fundraising strategy and part of a base organizing strategy, if the media doesn't call them out on it, there may be some folks who actually start to think that, you know, NFL players are, you know, somehow angry at U.S. troops. And that's not the case. It's simply not the case.
John Nichols from the Capital Times and the Nation, thanks for joining us at SliceOffice.com.
SliceOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
You know, we work hard every day. In mills and mines, hospitals and schools, in office buildings, pharmacies and shipyards, factories and forests, in squad cars, ambulances and taxicabs. We do all kinds of jobs in Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois, and all across the United States and Canada. We build the things that build our country. We do things that keep our country going, support our families and our communities. We have the courage to stand up even when no one else does. We have the strength to fight for what's right, for our families and for yours. We're your friends, your neighbors, your sisters and brothers. We're more than 1 million members strong. We stand in solidarity with workers in every continent on the globe. We're the United Steelworkers Union, and every day we fight for you. Please join our fight. Visit usw.org or like us at facebook.com/steelworkers.